Good morning. Glad to see everybody. Glad you're here. It is time for us to begin. We can get settled in, have a few announcements to make. We will meet for our evening service at 6 o'clock tonight. And deacons, men, we have a monthly deacon meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. Usually it's next Sunday, but I have a wedding here next Sunday afternoon, and so we will not meet next Sunday night. We'll not have services Sunday night. We will meet Sunday morning, of course, next Sunday. Next Sunday is Valentine's Day, so remember that. WMU will be meeting. Speaking of Valentine's Day, WMU will be meeting 10 o'clock on Wednesday, getting ready to put together some Valentine baskets and goodie baskets. Tell us what's going on, Miss Clarice. With no what?
No nuts.
No nuts. Okay.
Peanut water.
Gotcha. Okay.
And we'll be here at 10 o'clock Wednesday to put that together.
10 o'clock in the morning. Where are those going to?
To Azalea Gardens Nursing Home.
Okay.
And then if we have extra, we have taken them like to the post office or the police station or, you know, something like that.
That I do remember that, yeah. Okay, very good. Keep that in mind. So if you can make it Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock to help with that, putting those together, it would be appreciated, I'm sure. Thank the ladies for doing that. Any other announcements this morning? Okay. Call your attention to our prayer list. Continue to pray for Bobby Barnes. She is in Jackson. Charlie Odom, pray for Bill and Louise Barrett as they recover. Pray for their daughter Nancy, also dealing with breast cancer, Nancy is. And pray for Teresa Dickens, our adopted missionary in Thailand. Any others that you would like to mention other than what's already printed or maybe an update on our regular prayer list? Yes. Okay, so they're going to be doing the heart valve replacement in March. That's Sandy, our former church secretary that retired because of health problems, and this is part of it, dealing with that. Okay, all right. So she's been having a lot of tests and so on, and so pray for Sandy. Something's been going on with her for a long time, and you know she has really bad kidneys, and that complicates all of that. Do pray for her. How is, have an update, Barbara, on Courtney Hatton Stewart? Okay. Okay. Okay, so she's still in treatment and a few, a little bit more positive reports. Is she back home?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She was then. It's been a week or so since I've seen anything new posted, but the doctors from MD Anderson are still over.
Okay. I knew she had gone to Houston. Still communicating with her doctors in Hattiesburg. Good. Hadn't got a real good update on her in a long time, but do pray for her. That's Todd and Mim Hatton's daughter. She's married with a couple of little kids. She actually graduated in the same class as my oldest grandson. Her and Daniel graduated together, same class.
Paralyzed, and the family's going to need a lot of prayers and guidance
Now, that's a cousin?
Yeah.
Well, give me that name again.
Chris Shoemaker.
Chris Shoemaker? Okay. Involved in an accident, severed spine, and so. All right. Unspoken requests. Have a lot. Let us go then to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, your healing power. We intercede on the behalf of each one of these this morning, and we just ask, Lord, that you would honor our prayers, bring healing, bring comfort, encouragement to many of these that are dealing with illnesses for a long time, and a lot of discouragement has already set in. And so, Lord, we pray that you would encourage each and every one. We have a lot of unspoken requests this morning, Lord. You know them all. We also have a lot of requests in the printed prayer list. Lord, we lift them all up to you. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for tending to each and every one. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother John, come and get us started off with a call to worship at this time, please.
As listed in the bulletin, and I'd ask you to stand. We're going to sing His Name is Wonderful just through one time.
Come to worship you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come before you. Thank you for meeting us here. We have just sang about the wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for out of your grace and your goodness, you sent him as our Savior. And now it is in his name that we come to worship, and we lift up this prayer of dedication this morning. Amen. You may be seated.
Now, if you'll turn to hymn 499, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Sing the prayer of saints of glory.
688, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. After this hymn, Brother Charlie will come back, and then after his remarks, prayer, the choir will do short special music. Then Brother Charlie comes with a message.
This is the time that we would normally be taking up the morning offering. As you know, we've not been doing that. There is a offering plate in the vestibule and also one here. I want to thank everyone for your faithfulness in continuing to give your tithes and offerings. Giving of tithes and offerings is a part of our worship, is a part of worshiping God. And so when we quit passing the collection plates, have taken up the offering, we just kind of dropped that idea. But recently, as we were studying in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, we're told very clearly that giving of tithes and offerings of our finances, returning to the Lord a portion of what He blessed us with, is a part of worshiping God. And the Corinthian Christians are told there to be faithful in doing that, and are thanked for doing that, having done that. And so realized we have We have let that slip. We've not been doing that, making it a part of our worship service. And so we want to pick that up again somehow in some form. In our deacons meeting this evening, we're going to be discussing some different things that we can do. But at least for right now, just call attention to it like I have just done. And we go ahead and have an offertory prayer at this time. And then the choir will bring our special music. So let us pray, and we will dedicate our tithes and offerings today to the Lord. And we remember that it is to the Lord that we give them, not to the church, not to anything or anyone else, except our Lord. It is a commandment in Scripture, but it is also a privilege to be able to be a part of what the Lord is doing, we, the body of Christ. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we commit today's offering to you. We thank you for all the blessings you have blessed us with, and this is a time we return a portion of that to you. We know that there are some who are not able to be with us physically, present with us this morning, but they continue to be faithful in sending their tithes and offerings through the mail or dropping them by the church office during the week. And then others of us that are here are being faithful in depositing our tithes and offerings in the offering plates, either here on the communion table or in the vestibule as we come in or go out. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the gift and also the giver. Multiply it and use it according to your will for the furtherance of your kingdom, we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother John and choir.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Without him, how lost I would be, how true that is. Turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Very familiar psalm, but it comes up next as we're going through the psalms one by one, one after the other. Psalm 23, a message I've entitled The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Psalm 23, give you a moment to turn there. And then follow in your Bibles, if you will. As you know, I read out of a New International Version. I was asked if I would read the King James Version. Well, I've still got the New International Version before me, but so familiar with this psalm that it's going to be kind of a cross between NIV and King James. King James Version has such a poetic rhythm to it, and this psalm is very special to many of us in that King James Version because we grew up with it, and we've quoted it, and it's been quoted to us in difficult times. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, I commit this message to you. Pray you'd give me the words to say, but by your Holy Spirit, touch our hearts and teach us the full meaning of this beautiful psalm today. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Psalm 23 is the second of three messianic psalms, one right after the other here, that depict Christ as the Good Shepherd. Psalm 22, we looked at last Sunday, spoke of Christ the Good Shepherd as a suffering servant. That psalm prophesied about the suffering and death of Christ as we looked through that psalm. Psalm 23 speaks of Christ the Good Shepherd who is living today, who rose from the grave and is alive and well today and cares for his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. This psalm is made up of four stanzas, each with its own message, and we'll look at those in just a moment. David, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this psalm, identifies the Lord as his shepherd. But in John chapter 10, Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. I'd like to read just a couple of verses there from John chapter 10. The first is verse 11. Jesus says these words, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then again in verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And then we were to go back up to verse 2 and 3. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then if we go to verse 27 and 28 of the same chapter, Jesus says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Some very pointed words by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, about him being the Good Shepherd. And so Psalm 23, written by King David, had no idea that Christ was coming and would he would identify himself as the Good Shepherd. All David knew was the Lord was his shepherd, and he wrote these words, and as he wrote them, the Holy Spirit, unknown to David, caused David to be a prophet prophesying the coming Christ and the work that Christ would do after his death, burial, and his resurrection, and that's where we find him today. He is our shepherd today. Psalm 23 was read, quoted, and sang by God's people in David's day as they worshiped the Lord. It was always a time of encouragement and comfort in difficult times. The army might be coming back from war, and certain of the warriors had lost their lives, and their families were in grieving, and this was a psalm that they would quote and that they would sing. A reminder of encouragement and comfort in the dark valleys of life. And the same is true today. I don't know how many times I've been in a hospital room or in a waiting room after a surgery or after a diagnosis that was not good, and we would quote or read together this psalm. Hardly ever is there a funeral service that takes place that Psalm 23 is not read or referred to. And so it continues today to be words of comfort and encouragement, remembering the Good Shepherd. So let's take a look at this psalm, the four stanzas, the four verses that there are. Actually, there are six verses, but there are four distinct messages in this psalm. The first stanza, verse 1 through 3, clearly says that our shepherd provides for our every need. He provides completely. Look what verse 1 says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or literally, as the New International Version puts it, I shall not be in want. I shall not be in need or of want of anything. Regardless of circumstances, our shepherd provides our every needs. Maybe not always our wants, as we might define that word, but our needs. We shall not be in want. And the wording here literally is, it is an ongoing process, a participle there in the Greek language. Literally, the Lord is shepherding me. The Lord is shepherding me. And verse 1 is an introduction to the rest of the psalm, the Psalm 23. Verse 1 is followed by statements of particular provisions that our shepherd provides us with. So as we move on into verse 2, we find some of those. He provides nourishment, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep will not lie down when they are hungry, but when they are filled, when they are full, they will lie down and rest. Here, green pastures indicate healthy, filling nourishment, nourishing food for them. The picture of sheep led by the shepherd have gone to a green pasture where there's plenty of nourishment there to fill them. And after they have eaten their fill, they lie down in those green pastures. Regardless of the season, if we travel out through the West, we'll know, you'll notice that in the heat of the summer, the pastures down low are burned up and dry. There isn't anything green around. But as you gain altitude into the mountains and in the mountain valleys, you find green valleys with lush green grass. And the shepherds in that part of the country move their herds in the summertime to the mountain valleys where they have plenty of nourishing green grass and they can rest by lying down in green pastures. And then as the winter comes and those mountain valleys are filled with snow, they move down into the lowlands where what was once brown, they go down into the river bottoms and the creek bottoms where there's protection from the blizzards and find their green pastures and green nourishing grass where they can eat their fill and lay in those green pastures and find rest with nourished, complete, filled bodies. That is the picture of how the Lord provides nourishment for us. By what the psalm says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Not only nourishment, but he provides refreshment. He leads me beside still waters. New International says, beside quiet waters. And we're told that sheep are very, what's the word I'm looking for? They frighten easily, and if the stream is running swift with waterfalls and gurgling, bubbling waters, they're afraid to go and eat because it is dangerous to them. If they were to slip and fall, they'd be swept away in the current. And so a good shepherd will take his sheep to a place in a stream where the water is quiet. I was reading where even at times in the mountain streams that shepherds would dam up a stream to create a pool, a quiet pool where sheep would drink because they would not drink if the water was rough. They would only drink from quiet, still waters. And there get refreshed in the heat of the day, in the sun, refreshment. So is the picture with us. Our good shepherd leads us to still quiet waters, places of refreshment where we need not be afraid by swift currents that present danger, but rather quiet waters that present a peaceful, refreshing atmosphere and water that gives us refreshment to our souls. Which brings us right into the next subject. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He provides, the good shepherd provides restoration for our soul when we're troubled and distressed. The shepherd provides restoration of our soul. Maybe he just speaks to us quietly in a quiet, assuring way. I can see a shepherd talking and calling and soothing the fears of his sheep when they're afraid for whatever reason. They're distressed. They're troubled. They're seeing things. They're seeing dangers that trouble them. They become skittish. That's the word I was looking for a moment ago. And the shepherd quiets them simply by his voice speaking to them and restores their soul to them, the quietness of their soul. That is the picture here, how our good shepherd restores my soul, restores our soul, part of his provision. He provides guidance down the right paths. If we go on read in verse 3, he guides me in the paths of righteousness. There are some paths that we don't want to go down. There are some paths that the shepherd does not want his sheep to go down. Some of the mountain valleys are hard to get to reach those green pastures. But the shepherd knows the path that is the right path to get there safely. If the sheep were to go off on their own, they might very well choose a path that is steep and rocky and unstable, and they would fall and hurt themselves. And what a picture that is of our own lives. We take off on our own. What might look like a good way to go for us turns out to be the most dangerous and the most harmful way to go. But our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, will lead us, will guide us down the paths of righteousness, down through the right path. And as he does all of these things to provide for us, he also provides glory and respect for his name. The sheep gain confidence in their shepherd over a period of time. They must be saying in their own little minds, boy, our shepherd is smart. Our shepherd is a wise shepherd to take us to this spot where there is green grass for nourishment, to take us to this stream where there's quiet water to provide for us nourishment, to say these soothing words to us to restore our soul. As he does that, they become confident in him and they glory and respect the shepherd. And so it is with us. As the shepherd provides many times miraculously for us, we cannot help but glory in our shepherd, in his name, this verse says, for his name's sake. The name all through the Bible indicates the character of a person. And for his name's sake, he provides all of this. And as we experience his provisions, we glory and respect the namesake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Something very important right here that we need to realize. For us, putting the sheep aside, for us, all of these provisions are found in God's Word, the Holy Bible, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ and searching the Scriptures in His Word, what do we find there? We find nourishment for the soul. We find peaceful refreshment. We find restoration of our soul. We find guidance down the right paths of life. And we find glory and respect for the name of our shepherd. What a wonderful, loving, caring, wise shepherd he truly is. So the second stanza comes to us in verse 4. One verse, but it's kind of a lengthy verse. The second stanza clearly says that the shepherd calms our fears. In the middle of verse 4 it says, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil. I'll not be afraid because, why? That verse goes on to say, for you are with me because thou art with me. The shepherd is with him. The sheep will follow his shepherd because they have confidence in the shepherd, that the shepherd will keep them from evil. There might be wolves and bears and mountain lions in those dark valleys, but they're not going to bother the sheep because the shepherd's there with them. You notice in these psalms, again and again, almost every psalm, it speaks to the presence of the Lord with his people, with us. Never alone. Last Sunday referred to that song, Never Alone. And then if you missed last Sunday night, Nell found that song. It's not in our hymnal, but we sang that song. Never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave us. We're never alone. He's always with us. And because of that, we will not fear. Our shepherd calms our fears as a shepherd calms the fears of the sheep that following him, Christ Jesus, calms our fears that we might have, even in the darkest valleys of life. And here again, something very important for us to realize. All of these provisions are found not only in God's Word, but it is also found in a relationship with our shepherd, with our Lord Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with him. This stanza goes on to say, one of the reasons why I will not fear is because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod was a lethal weapon that could stun or kill an attacking beast, an attacking animal. A wolf, lion, or bear had to deal with the shepherd's rod. The shepherd's rod was just a pole made of very, very hard wood. And it could be used to beat off any attacking animal. If you go back to the book of 1 Samuel, I believe it is, maybe 2 Samuel, where King David first comes on the scene as a shepherd boy. He's been watching his father's sheep. And his father sends him to his brothers who are in battle with the Philistines with something to eat. And he is there, as he arrives there, the giant Goliath is cursing the God of Israel. And David said, who is that idiot that's cursing my God? Well, nobody wanted to go fight him. But David said, look, I have killed the lion and the bear. I have saved sheep from the mouth of the lion. And the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from that. And I won't say what he calls him, but it doesn't but just a little bit. And that giant Goliath was laying on his back, and David was over him with a sword cutting off his head. David was familiar with the shepherd's rod. With that rod, he had literally beat off and killed lions and bears. And as he is thinking about the Lord being his shepherd, he is saying, I will not fear because he's with me. And his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Another thing that the shepherd in those days used was the staff. And the staff, again, was a rod with a crook in the end of it. And if the shepherd was leading his sheep down a path, the right path, and had one sheep that was somewhat rebellious like some of us tend to be, go off on their own way, the shepherd could reach out with that staff with a crook on the end and get the sheep by the neck, and that crook would bring them back into the right path. Again, a good picture of what our Lord, our good shepherd, does to us and for us from time to time. He not only beats off the enemy, Satan, that old lion, Bible refers to him, that walks about seeking whom he may devour all of the time. He seeks to destroy us. Not only does our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, beat off the enemy, the lion, Satan himself, but he also reaches out and lovingly, sometimes a little more than just lovingly, bring us back into the fold, into the right path where we ought to be. And because of that, David says, I will not fear. And we can say likewise, I will not fear. The third stanza is verse 5. And this third stanza clearly says that the shepherd honors us with overflowing blessings. Our shepherd honors us. He not only provides for us, he not only removes fear, but he honors us. Why in the world would he do that? He does that because he loves us. Remember what we read in John 10, the words of Jesus, as he says, I am the good shepherd. I love my sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. And he showers us with blessings overflowing. Look at what verse 5 says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The picture here is, In that green pasture where the shepherd has led his sheep, and they are satisfied, they've eaten their fill, they've drank of the refreshing, quiet waters, and they're there lying. And the enemies are there on the outskirts in the bushes and the rocks watching. They would really like to make a meal out of one of those sheep, but they don't dare try it because the shepherd's there. And they would have to face the shepherd's rod if they tried. And then to add insult to injury, the shepherd spreads out a canvas or a robe, maybe even the robe off of his own back, on the ground. And from a bag that he has, he pours out some grain, some feed, for the sheep to come and eat. And that's the picture here. You prepare a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies, while the enemy watches in envy, our shepherd showers us with blessings, prepares a table before us to feed us and meet our needs and to comfort our fears. That's the kind of shepherd our shepherd is. And not only that, but the verse goes on to say, and says, you anoint my head with oil. Different scholars have said different things about this oil, anointing of oil. Some of them are that oil was used for medication. If the sheep had scratches and cuts from the bushes, the oil was used to as a medicine to heal those spots. Some have said that oil was put on the backs of the sheep to not let the insects, the flies and the mosquitoes and the horse flies to bite the sheep. But here the wording, you anoint my head with oil, is just a picture of the anointing of God and the prophets of God, anointing with oil God's special chosen people that he has chosen to be kings and queens. The prophet Samuel, God told Samuel, one was David's father's name, and I lost it. Jesse. One of Jesse's sons will be my anointed king. And so Samuel told Jesse, bring them on. And one by one they passed. And the Lord said, nope, 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 nope. Got any more, Jesse? Yeah, there's one out there tending the sheep, but there's not much to him. We'll bring him here. Brought him there, and God says, he's the one. And what'd Samuel do? Samuel got out the oil and anointed him as God's chosen king. And the kingdom of David will rule forever and ever and ever through Christ Jesus, the lineage, one of the descendants of David. Christ Jesus, forever and ever. That's a picture here. Our shepherd anoints us as special people. He has anointed you and you and you and you. New Testament talks about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit to be present with us. We receive that anointing immediately and says, just filling us with blessings. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies while they watch in envy. He anoints my head with oil. And then he goes on and says, my cup overflows. My cup is running over. The cup is a cup of blessings. It's just overflowing. All through the Bible it speaks of the cup of blessings. My cup is full and overflowing with blessings. Our shepherd honors us with overflowing blessings. Not that we deserve it. We're lowly, helpless sheep, after all. But because he cares for us, he knows our name, he calls our name. And we listen for his voice. And we hear his voice. When we hear his voice, we follow him. Just as Jesus said back in John chapter 10. As the disciple John remembers Jesus teaching about this very thing. The fourth and last stanza is in verse 6. And this stanza clearly says that our shepherd is faithful in life and in eternity, forever. His faithfulness includes goodness and mercy, or goodness and love, all the days of our life. That's why he's anointed us. That's why he prepares table of force in the presence of our enemies. That's why our cup's overflowing with blessings, is because his goodness and mercy is following us all the days of our life. His faithfulness includes his goodness and his love being poured out to us all the days of our lives. Even in the last days of our lives. Even in sickness and in hurt and misery, his faithfulness is still with us. He'll never leave us. No, never. He promised never to leave us. We're never alone. Not only all the days of our life, but forever. That last verse says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His faithfulness not only includes his goodness and mercy all the days of our life, but it also includes his faithfulness throughout all of eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. We have watched all too many of our church family, of our biological families, step into eternity this year. But the Lord is faithful. He was faithful to them through all the days of their life, and he's continued to be faithful to them in death and beyond. Because our shepherd is a conqueror of death. If we took time to really do a study of John chapter 10, Jesus is talking about, as he is talking about, that he is a good shepherd. He says, I lay down my life. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to pick it up again, which he did. And which he will do for each and every one of us, each and every one of you. If he is your Savior. If he is your good shepherd. The good shepherd. In conclusion, indeed, the great shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd, he's a great shepherd, is he not? Many call Psalm 23 the great shepherd instead of the psalm about the good shepherd. Provisions, peace in place of fear, blessings overflowing, faithfulness all the days of our life, in the present as well as in eternity. Let's go back to John chapter 10. I want to read one other verse. John chapter 10 and verse 16 says, Jesus said something else. He said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Let me read that again. Understand, catch what he's saying here. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen, and I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. The invitation is clear. The invitation is clear. Surrender your life to listen and follow the good shepherd. Even in Jesus' day, he was talking to his followers, to his disciples, making clear to them that he was that good shepherd that David was talking about in Psalm 23. But even at that day, he says there are others out there, other sheep out there that are not in this flock. But I have to bring them in. And so this morning, if you are here and you are not one of the anointed sheep, one of the anointed flock, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, desires very much for you to come in. In John chapter 10, Jesus also uses the picture of that he is the gate. Jesus not only is a shepherd of the sheep, he is a gate to the sheepfold. He is how you get into the fold. He is how you become one of his flock. There's no other way to come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the gate. And it is so because God has said it to be so. Might not make logical good sense, but God the Father, the Creator of earth and heaven, has said it is so. If we will simply believe it in faith and step out and accept the Savior as our Savior, the Good Shepherd is our good Savior. Surrender ourselves to Him. An old Pentecostal fishing buddy of mine used that term lots of times. Surrender your life to the Lord. And listen to Him and follow the Good Shepherd. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of Psalm 23. It is indeed comforting and encouraging. At any time, good time, difficult times, sad time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Good Shepherd. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for Him identifying Himself as that Good Shepherd. And then, Lord, above all else, we thank you for Him following through obediently for your plan for His life, and that was that He would lay down His life, allow Himself to be nailed to a cross, placed in a tomb, and then 3 days later, raised from the dead to live forever and ascend into heaven. there to prepare a place for us. And Heavenly Father, we look forward to that day, even as we look forward to this day and the days following, as we are under the leadership of the Good Shepherd. It is in Christ Jesus' name that we pray, and we extend an invitation to all this morning. Amen. Please stand with me, and Brother John and Nell have prepared an invitation hymn, a closing hymn this moment, and we'll sing a verse or two of that. If you will come this morning, accept Jesus as your Savior, or whatever the Lord would have you to make a decision for Him, now is the time to do that. What's the hymn, John?
596.
All right. Sing a quick verse or two of this, and we'll pray and be on our way.
Who you love. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen.